As they go to their seats, I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16b. In the Pew Bible, it's on page 987. Romans 12, 9 through 16b. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal. Be aglow with the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be conceited. As I was preparing for the May messages several weeks ago, I began to think, okay, what about Mother's Day? I have viewed typical and a few non-typical passages over the years. You might recall that. And I wanted to know, got to thinking, okay, what would be different yet fit both remembering our mothers, you know, we all have one, and honoring all of our women who have been mothers to so many in so many different ways, who have been, as the title says today, women of grace. I began going through a variety of scripture passages, and when I just happened, quotation marks, just happened to look at this passage in Romans, the text jumped out at me, reminding me of how many times God's grace has been given through both biological and spiritual moms. In fact, in the ways described in this particular passage. So as we reflect upon these verses today, I pray that we can find within our own lives remembrances of not just our mothers, but those who have been women of grace in our lives in other ways as well. Now, in Romans chapters 12 through 13, Paul deals in different ways with the theme of living spiritual gifts. That is, living out spiritual gifts. And doing so primarily within the Christian community itself. He believed that all Christians receive the Holy Spirit when they died to Christ, with Christ to sin. 1 Corinthians 12. But he does believe, Paul, Luke, in fact, throughout anything that Luke and Paul had any kind of influence upon, there is this understanding that the Spirit is given at the point you truly believe. And then you cultivate it and it grows within you or not. And so he believed that all Christians receive this Holy Spirit when they die with Christ to sin. And in his understanding, that Spirit is God's presence, God's personal presence, which indwells Christians with God's power and gives us the ability to have the power not over others, but the power to live Christian lives, especially in a society that doesn't value that. The various gifts of God about which he speaks would become manifested as fruits, that is, virtues, if you will. Fruits of that Spirit, seen within a life which brings forth good to others. So as we look at this specific passage for today, we are reminded that the key virtue, where we begin, the key virtue for all gifts, the key virtue for all fruits is love. And the Greek word here for love is agape, that unconditional, that love that we've spoken of before as, regardless of what happens, I'm going to love you. We're reminded that the motive for those gifts must be proper and has to be based in this kind of understanding, an all-forgiving kind of love, which is really tough to do. In a commentary entitled Pauline Commentary from the Greek Church, Gennadius of Constantinople lived somewhere between 1400 and 1473, wrote the following, and I quote, "God did not give us his gift in order that we should hate each other, or that spiritual things should become an excuse for warfare, but so that we should enjoy harmony and friendship, and the common salvation of all." End of quote. Concerning Romans 12:9 and following, Charles Talbot notes, and I quote, "Just as in 1 Corinthians 13, there is then a sketch of what love looks like in Romans 12:9b-13. End of quote. And I would contend that it extends even beyond verse 13 in our passage today. That just like Romans, or just like 1 Corinthians 13, here in Romans 12 we have a sketch of what love looks like. We find in this reading a series of imperatives. These are not, you know, think about it, you might want to do, but do this. And it begins with the imperative. The love, genuine and unfeigned. That's pretty much a straightforward translation. The love, genuine and unfeigned. It's not fake. It's something that has to be genuine and sincere within our lives. Well, that kind of love reminds me of mother love, actually. A love that sacrifices for those whom she loves. A love that is unfeigned, that is sincere, even when sometimes we might prove to be a little bit unlovable. Our moms. Our spiritual moms. Our counselor moms in other places, when some of us would just as soon take the paddle. They had more patience than some of us would have. They showed that love as being true and sincere and genuine. Now, grant you, and this is not written here, I've told you before, you know, my mother could have a tough side, even in that. We had to cut our own switch from a forsythia bush in the corner of the yard. And if we didn't cut the right kind of switch, she graciously walked with us so that we made sure we got the right kind the next time. But it was still out of a genuine and sincere care and love. Those who take on a child or even another adult who need loving care and guidance do so with this kind of unselfish love. It is not a spirit that grasps for individual status. But this kind of love, this agape, this forgiving love, this, if you would, mother love, is a commitment to the welfare of another. And even for the whole Christian community, as Paul uses it here. If one has this kind of love, then what will be the result? Well, among other things, you might think it's kind of strange. You got let love be genuine, or the love genuine and unfeigned, then hate what is evil. But that kind of love does despise what is evil. What takes away from it and what hurts others. Why? Because that love seeks to bring good and to bring wholeness. And that kind of love will not pursue any action out of evil intent. Rather, that kind of love and care will seek to overcome the bad things by holding fast or holding strongly to that which is good. In this particular passage here, The understanding is that which is ethically and morally proper is that which is good. And acting in a moral correctness and holding fast to it, teaching those she teaches, not only about love, but teaching in an atmosphere and an attitude of that kind of care. Following upon this foundation of love, we find the actions. The action of love continuing over the next several verses. With brotherly love or family love, love for one another. Actually, the word philostorgos is a combination of words for brother love and mother love, storge. A love that shows in caring oversight, seeking the best for the other. Seeking the best for the other. Even if sometimes that does come with a sense of discipline. It is a sense of discipline out of seeking the best. Philostorgos. Preferring one another, that is, showing greater care for those whom you love to the point of deferential treatment. That preferring one another is not just, well, I prefer this group of folks over that group of folks, but this kind of mother love, this kind of care for those who are guiding is, I'm showing deference to you over what I would rather do for myself. It's a giving love, a deferential kind of love. You know, some of you can probably say, if not all of us, but I have heard it said by some in this congregation and some who were members here and have gone on to be with God. You know, Mom always made sure we were safe, warm, and had what we needed, even though it might mean that she went without something. That's the kind of love we're talking about, that deferential and sacrificial and preferential love. Unflagging zeal. What is that? Means we put the flags down? No. That means that we are not lacking in zealousness. Being zealous for taking care of those around. Because of an ardent spirit in serving the Lord. James Moffat translates part of verse 11 as, maintain that spiritual glow while serving the Lord. Maintain that spiritual glow. Dale Moody writes, and I quote, there's too much Christianity today that looks like a hickory log on a fire, but closer examination reveals a paper substitute with a small bulb inside. End quote. Now, Dale Moody wrote that a long time ago. Dale Moody could have written it today. Too much Christianity that looks like a hickory log on fire, but close examination reveals a paper substitute with a small bulb inside. But think back. How many of us would attest to the strength and the glow of those who have been mothers to us? Perhaps mothers to us in a Sunday school class or a vacation Bible school class or somewhere else who served God often behind the scenes, who made sure that we had what we needed. Maybe who made sure we not only brushed our teeth and washed behind our ears and had on clean underwear, but whose love for God instructed us in regular prayers at home, bringing us to church, coming to church with us, when sometimes, unfortunately, guys, we dads didn't do such a good job. Moms were there, sharing and caring. In fact, in most Christian churches even today, if you look around, there are more women than men who are in regular attendance and participation and who bring the children. Sometimes even when those children are 30 and 40 years old. You know, you always be your mama's child. And I've told my boys, doesn't matter how old you are and the fact that you're both bigger than I am, you're still my child. Within verse 12, we find even more of the portrait of what I call women of grace. Women who rejoiced in hope. Their hope in God and the hope that they have placed in us. Think of the hopes and the dreams that moms had and have for you. And the pride when you accomplished one of those. Those who have been patient within difficult times and trials, especially when we might have been part of those difficulties. In spite of the fact that perhaps we should have had more than just be put in the corner. And who were and continue to be constant in prayer. Often praying for our benefit and our protection, not for their own. I know that there are some of us who went our own ways and who would stand and attest to the fact that only the continued prayers and care of our moms got us back to where we needed to be. And those who threw another plate on a table and made room for an unexpected friend or a person in need, all the while treating them with grace-filled hospitality, no matter the inconvenience. All of these things were not only the opposite of much of ancient society, but unfortunately are the opposite of many of today's social norms as well. Epictetus wrote that this love for others, which Paul calls people, makes you way too vulnerable. Rather, he writes, one should show a lack of involvement in the cares of others rather than be vulnerable. This compassionate living, then, shows forth even more in the opposite of the lex talionis, the law of retaliation. Instead, Mom said, don't return violence with violence. Don't do harm. Be happy with your friends when they're happy, and sit with them when they're crying. Live in harmony with your family and your friends, especially in the church. Don't turn around and go out another door because somebody's coming down the aisle in your direction that you have a problem with. But rather, show them grace. Don't act like you're better than others, but speak to those who are the lowly and help them if you can. Some of y'all probably heard this. Remember, but for the grace of God, there I go. Now, we could continue on and on and on with these things that Paul has to say about these Christians, how each Christian should act and function in their lives, but which I find especially appropriate for the women of grace in our lives. These women who have graced our lives, whether mothers in our homes or mothers to us in other places and other times in life. Those who have lived up to the expectations, yes, but even more so, who have taken upon themselves this grand responsibility that God has given them to make our lives and our world so much better. And so, it is to these women of grace, moms in so many different ways. And by the way, I started to get the sheet music for, but then I couldn't make it through if I did, get the sheet music for B.J. Thomas, Mama. If you haven't heard it lately, or if you've never heard it, look it up and listen to it. It's everything that has been said here and even more. So I would say to all of you women of grace, who have been mothers in so many different ways, in so many different areas, and in so many different times, we need to remember and emulate not only these teachings, but we need to remember and emulate the commitment that you have in living them forth. Thank God for all the women of grace who grace our lives. In a moment, we will come to table. No one has graced our lives more than the mother of the one who gave himself, that is Mary. But we come to remember Jesus, who gives us life even beyond what our moms can do. And so after our next hymn, as we come and we gather, may we remember not only Jesus' mom and the commitment that she had, but may we remember the life that he has given to each of us and continues to give. Our hymn of preparation and our hymn of commitment is hymn number 349, "Oh, How He Loves You and Me."